annual parties and staff functions. Well, moving on from staff entertaining itself, we've got one of the biggest problem areas for employers and their advisors, where there's confusion, certainly about the £150 exemption for annual staff parties, staff functions. How and when does it apply? Well, let us consider the legislation in ITPA. Section 264, Annual Parties and Functions is the heading. And it says, this section applies to an annual party or similar annual function provided for an employer's employees and available to them generally, or available generally to those at a particular location. Now, that's an important point there. It's not a requirement that someone at head office in Bristol has to have a party and then invite everyone from Scotland down. They could have a separate function in Edinburgh or Glasgow. Everyone doesn't have to go to the same function. It's at a particular location that they will look at. The second point is, where in the tax year only one annual party or similar annual function, again, let's emphasise that, to which the section applies is provided for the employer's employees or the employees in question, no liability to income tax arises in respect of its provision if the cost per head of the party or function does not exceed £150. When the tax year two or more such parties or functions are so provided, no liability to income tax arises in respect of the provision of one or more of them, the exempt party or parties, if the cost per head of the exempt party or parties does not exceed £150 or £150 in aggregate. Then it goes on to say, for the purposes of this section, the cost per head of a party or function is the total cost of providing the party or function and any transport or accommodation incidentally provided for persons attending it, whether or not they are the employer's employees. And that's divided by the number of those persons. Finally, that total cost includes any value-added tax, don't forget the VAT, on the expenses incurred in providing the party, function, transport, or accommodation. So let's look at that. And it may be stating the obvious, but the important points are that the exemption applies to annual events. So it doesn't apply to the 75th anniversary party. It doesn't apply to the managing director's 50th birthday party. And of course, the event must be open to staff generally or available generally to those at a particular location. So it's no good if the event is just for the finance department or it's just for the board. Next, we must remember that the limit of £150 is not an allowance. So the party that costs more than £150 is taxable in full, not just the excess. And the whole cost will then need to be included normally in a PAYE settlement agreement. The good news is that the £150 is per head, not per employee, which means that it is the cost per head of the number of people attending the function. That is, up to £300 per employee if accompanied by a spouse or partner. Now, employers need to plan ahead and budget for the full cost of the event, including VAT, the cost of transport to and from the venue, and any other related costs. Paragraph 3 of the exemption does provide for more than one function within the £150 limit, providing the cost per head does not exceed £150 in aggregate. Where there is more than one function and the total cost exceeds £150, the function or functions that take the cost over the limit then have to be excluded. So just as an example, we've got the autumn ball cost £95 a head. The summer barbecue cost £50 a head. And the Christmas party costs £45 a head. Any two of those will be within the £150 limit. So what it means is you have to choose one of them as the taxable event. The obvious one might seem to be the summer barbecue because that costs £50 a head. But it depends. What is the cost of the whole event? That needs to be looked at. As I say, you've got to look at the aggregate. It's not an allowance. The excess isn't taxable. The whole of the one function would be taxable.